Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 22, and can be found on page 1113 of the Pew Bibles. So Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead."
We are all religious. Every one of us here is religious. We're all people of faith. You, me, Richard Dawkins, Stephen Hawking, we're all religious people of faith. Let's unpack that. Well, the Oxford Dictionary defines religion as a particular system of faith and worship. In other words, something we believe in and are devoted to. We might call it an ultimate commitment, a worldview, the thing we're committed to that helps us make most sense of who we are and the world we live in. Our philosophy, the guiding principle in our lives, our worldview. We're all religious. Everyone has a worldview. There's a sermon outline that came with the service sheets that might help if you want to follow that. You might want to keep your Bibles open at Acts 17 as well. And let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to have our eyes and hearts in your word. And we pray that your spirit really would illuminate that word to us today. Please speak into our hearts, change us for your glory. Amen. So there are two points of introduction on the sermon outline. First, everyone has a worldview. Everyone has a worldview. As you try to understand who you are and the world we live in, where do you look for the best explanation of, well, life and what it's all about? Yeah, in what do you put your faith to make best sense of everything? What's your worldview based on? Yeah, are you committed to the fact that there is a God and you live in light of that? Or are you committed to the fact that there is no God, faith in no God? If so, what do you put your faith in? Do you look to science, for example, to give the best explanation of life? Or perhaps you look deeper inside. Is life about being true to yourself? Is that your ultimate commitment? Perhaps it's relationships with other people, family and friends. For example, is your children's happiness your ultimate commitment? Do those relationships determine the choices you make in life? Maybe it's our culture, cultural norms, what society says is good and bad, right and wrong. If our culture, whether politicians or the media, friends and neighbours, if they say something's good or bad, right or wrong, is that your reference point for life? Maybe it's financial security. Are your decisions in life guided by what will provide financial security for you and your loved ones? Why do you go to work? What's work about? Why such a need to build up savings or pensions or own a property and pay off the mortgage? We're all religious. What do you believe in and devote yourself to? What do you put your faith in? What do you worship? What's the thing that helps you make best sense of who we are and the world we live in? We all have a worldview. The real question is, what's our worldview based on? In fact, that's not the question. Once we understand that we all have a worldview, the question really is, what's the best worldview to have? The thing that makes most sense of who we are in the world we live in, that best explains life. What's the best thing to commit ourselves to, the best philosophy for life? This morning's a little different to usual. We're not working through a passage of the Bible like we'd normally expect, but thinking about this topic of worldviews. Why speak about worldviews? You know, why do this? Well, if everyone has a worldview, when we understand what a worldview is and how it's formed, we have a better chance as Christians of understanding how the gospel speaks directly into people's lives. Yeah, if everyone has a worldview, when we understand what a worldview is and how it's formed, we have a better chance as Christians of understanding how the gospel speaks directly into people's lives. Let's unpack that for a moment. So, for example, your child asks you, as my five-year-old has already done, what happens when we die? What do I say? Well, the answer I give depends on my worldview. Who are we as human beings? Are we simply physical beings? Do we go to dust when we die? Is that it? Or is there more to human life? Why? What is that? What then about ghosts? Well, are they real? And the questions go on and on and on. Or another example, we might be asked by a work colleague or friend, how do you really know what you believe as a Christian is true? Well, the answer we give depends on our worldview. How is it possible to know anything at all? Maybe we think we can never be certain. Or perhaps we just believe strongly enough that Christianity is true. Maybe we've worked it out so it makes logical sense, or we've had a mountaintop experience of Christianity. But there are some big holes in those answers. You know, if we've just worked out Christianity for ourselves logically, what have we worked out? And where's that come from? And what about those who lack the mental capabilities to logically work things out, like small children or people with special needs and disabilities? Where do they stand in terms of the Christian faith? Or if our Christian faith is based on a mountaintop experience, what about people who've never had that experience? What's the basis of their Christian faith? Can they be Christians without that experience? Our worldview, how we understand who we are and the world we live in, shapes our life. And the second point of introduction this morning is that our worldview shapes our life. Our worldview shapes our life. It shapes how we think and speak and act. It shapes how we think and speak about death or ghosts or about our faith or about dinosaurs. It shapes how we think, speak and act about abortion, euthanasia, human sexuality, church, men and women in the church, or dating, or life after death, the meaning of life, happiness, suffering, self-fulfillment, and the list goes on. Real topics, real questions people are asking, real things going on in people's lives. Our worldview shapes how we think and speak and act. And that's true for every human being. We all have a worldview. And different worldviews result in different responses to life because they see who we are and the world we live in differently. So back to our question, what's the best worldview to have? The thing that makes most sense of who we are and the world we live in, that best explains life. What's the best thing to commit our lives to? The best philosophy for life, generally and day by day as we live it. Well, laying my cards on the table, I'm going to say that that commitment is to the God of the Bible and what he has to say. This is our next point. The best worldview is a biblical worldview. The best worldview is a biblical worldview. And we turn now to our reading, Acts 17, 22 to 31. Paul is speaking to the Council of Athens. Men of Athens, Paul says, let me tell you, God isn't a concept of man. He's not a man-made God. But verse 24, he's the God who made the world and everything in it. He is the one who, verse 25, gives all men life and breath and everything else. God isn't man-made. He's the God who made man. More than that, verse 24, who made the world and everything in it. If our worldview, the way we understand who we are and the world we live in, is shaped, Acts 17 teaches us a very clear point. Verses 24 to 26, who are we as human beings? Well, we are created by God. Verse 27, for relationship with God, that we might seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Which comes verse 30, through repentance, a turning back to God. And if we glance back to verse 18, the context of this is through Jesus, his death and resurrection. Who are we as human beings? We are made by God for relationship with God through Jesus. That's a biblical worldview. Paul also tells us what the world's all about. It's been, verse 24, created by God. God made the world and everything in it. He tells us, verse 26, that God's in control of the world. And verse 31, that one day God will judge the world. Specifically, Jesus will return to judge the world. That's what a biblical worldview says. Now, this one passage isn't exhaustive. It doesn't say everything the Bible has to say about who we are and the world we live in. But it's a pretty solid foundation. And these are foundations for a biblical worldview, a way of looking at the world with an ultimate commitment to the God of the Bible and what he has to say about who we are and about the world we live in. And really, more importantly, about who he is. Now, there are some presuppositions here. I'm working off the basis that the Bible is, as it claims to be, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is the Word of God, the God who made us and who made the world. And on that basis, the best worldview, the one that makes most sense of who we are and the world we live in, must be a biblical worldview. An ultimate commitment to the God of the Bible and what he has to say. For us as Christians, we need to develop a biblical worldview because this best equips us to live in light of the gospel and to speak the gospel into the lives of others, friends, family, work colleagues, those who have a different worldview. Our final point this morning, a biblical worldview shapes us and how we speak into the lives of others. A biblical worldview shapes us and how we speak into the lives of others. Major conflicts in today's society come where different worldviews collide. For example, between the ideologies of IS, Islamic State, and the US, United States. Or between the right to life and the opposite labelled right to die. Abortion and euthanasia debates major here. Or in the equality debate. For example, between religious freedom and human sexuality. The government's same-sex marriage bill has had high profile in public and private debates of recent times. And we also engage in these debates at a personal, private level too, round the dinner table, in the pub or on the playground. The old adage, don't mention religion or politics. You know, we talk about these topics though. And we get asked about ghosts and dinosaurs and aliens and about how the world began and about our Christian faith, about suffering and forgiveness. Our challenge in presenting the gospel is to speak into these topics with a biblical worldview. That's how we can truly speak Christianly about Christ into people's lives. A worldview develops as we work out what we believe in key areas of life. And these can be presented as questions about these areas of life. Our answers to these questions determine our worldview. And I've put some of those key questions on the sermon outline in the big box there. We're not going to go through them all in detail with all the different Bible references. But let me run through those quickly. What's the prime reality of life, the really real? What do we think about that? What's the world around us all about? What do we think about that? What is a human being? What happens to us when we die? How is it possible to know anything at all? How do we know what's right and wrong? What's the meaning of human history, the purpose of life? Our answers to those questions will determine our worldview. One example might be the question about ghosts. Christians don't have all the answers about ghosts. Yeah, and we can't deny someone's experience who's had a ghostly apparition. But what would a ghost be if one exists? Well, a biblical worldview helps us speak biblical truth into that. Look at question 4 on the outline. What happens to us when we die? Well, if a biblical worldview teaches us, Hebrews 9:27, that we face judgment when we die, and Luke 16:26, that we cannot move from one place to another after death, the idea of a ghost as a lost human soul wandering around, well, it seems contrary to that. Those verses don't give us all the answers about ghosts and ghostly apparitions, but they help us begin to come to some conclusions based on what the Bible affirms and denies about life after death. Our worldviews are being constantly shaped, for example, by what we read in the news, what we watch on TV, what we or our children learn in schools, conversations in the pub or workplace or playground. The way we'll develop and grow a biblical worldview is as we read, study, and are taught God's word in the Bible. And that's the same for our children. If God's word isn't shaping our or our children's worldview, then something else will be every single day, which is a real challenge for us all, especially those of us with responsibilities as parents. As we conclude, why does all this matter? Well, it matters because we're all religious. We all have an ultimate commitment, a worldview, the guiding principle in our lives, the God of our lives. In Acts 17:22, Paul says to the Athenians, "I see that in every way you are very religious. We all worship something. And that something shapes our view of the world and how we think, speak, and act as we live in it. And it also shapes how we'll speak into the lives of others, our children, friends, one another at church, those we want to share the great news about Jesus with. A biblical worldview will shape the 50, 60, 70, however many years we have in this present age. But even more importantly, it shapes our life in the age to come. Because a biblical worldview says, and we're in Acts 17 here, that the risen Lord Jesus is returning to judge the world. It tells us that there is an eternal life beyond this life for all of us, and that our destination depends on our response to Jesus. Acts 17:30, God commands all people everywhere to repent, and he longs, verse 27, that we might seek him and reach out for him and find him. If God exists, if God can be trusted, if God's word can be trusted, how important for us to develop a biblical worldview, to do that ourselves, and to engage with others who have a different worldview, that we might walk in repentance and faith all our days, and that others might come to repentance and faith in the risen Lord Jesus, the coming judge, yes, Acts 17:31, but also the Saviour for all who turn and trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can know the answers to life's deepest questions: who we are, why we exist, what this world we live in is all about. Thank you for your word that gives us the best lens to see you as you really are, and that points us to you and to the Lord Jesus, Judge and Saviour. By your word and spirit, we pray that you might equip each of us here with a biblical worldview that keeps us trusting in Jesus all our days, and gives us the confidence to speak into the lives of others with the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.